I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. This is music from the upcoming Rejoice Diaspora Dance Theater performance at New Expressive Works. Today I present some original works, first by dancer-choreographer Olienka Akinjiola of Rejoice Diaspora Dance Theater and dancer-choreographer Subhashini Ganesa, who are both going to be performing their original dance pieces at New Expressive Works on January 20th through the 22nd this weekend. And in the second part of the show, we hear about stories from McLaren, a project at the Youth Correctional Facility. Playwright Francesca Piantadozzi and Ann Singer, who's the artistic director of Rogue Pack, have conducted workshops there with youth. They're presenting their finished work for the Fertile Ground Festival of 2017. It's a full show today on Snow and Ice Day, so stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. With me on the phone is Olienka Akinjiola. Hello, are you there?
Hi, good morning.
Hey, it's nice to hear your voice. You are the artistic director and founder of Rejoice Diaspora Dance Theater. It's a long thing to say, but you know, I remember from a year ago when you were just starting out this group. Has it grown a lot since that time? It was exactly a year ago, actually.
It was. We have grown into having three full productions since our inception and have been touring the Northwest and growing in numbers. Our new work has 13 dancers.
Whoa.
The original seven.
Wow. So you're growing your ensemble and you're touring. I mean, that's a lot to do in 1 year.
It is. It's been a wonderful year, from the Shakespeare Festival to TEDx.
Wonderful. Oh, you went to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival too.
Yeah.
You've had a great year. Congratulations on that. Well, we just heard music from Betray My Heart, and it's pretty upbeat for such a title, I must say, but it's for your dance piece, and it's inspired by your recent trip to Nigeria. Is that correct?
It is. So the work, Ibukun, The Celebration, is the full title. It really reflects on my experience of the funeral festivities of Nigeria when my grandmother passed. But it's not a funeral in a Western sense.
Yeah, how is it the funeral traditions in Nigeria? What did you experience?
Well, what really resonated with me was the relationship with death, and there was the presence of music and dancing and storytelling and just the celebratory feeling that honors the person who has passed.
Well, you know, how would you say, you know, there's more dance? What happens that might be a little bit different from what, you know, one would think is a funeral here?
There is a lot of community gatherings, really over a 10-day period.
Wow.
And the actual day of the funeral celebration of, you know, when the interment happened, there were three live bands, one that processed with the casket, the bata drummers that played, and we will also be featuring that in the show, and a full live Afrobeat band for the event that had over 600 guests. So it's really a huge party and celebration.
Sounds very joyous.
It is quite a transition from funerals in the United States.
Will you be showing that in your dance? Are you sort of evoking that in your dance pieces?
Absolutely. So it's really that that feeling that I'm bringing to the stage through contemporary dance and dances of the African diaspora. And it's really some of these ideas that transcend beyond Nigeria to other areas of the African diaspora. So I bridge these together, but within the framework of a Nigerian funeral practice. So you'll be entering as if you're experiencing what would happen in Nigeria, but there's these cross-cultural elements that I think will really resonate with audiences.
Well, it sounds like you've married the sort of the best parts of dance, which is, of course, movement, but also, you know, sort of the emotional aspect of it, too, you know, to experience something and giving the audience an experience. How much of the Yoruba ancestry, your own ancestry, did you know before you went to Nigeria?
Well, I had never experienced a funeral before. I had at least in my dance studies, have researched some of the old traditions that were maintained in Cuba and Brazil. But my relationship is really the contemporary culture. You know, culture is always changing and evolving. So that, you know, as first generation, things have really shifted here in the United States, the Nigerian culture here, but also it's constantly changing in the country, being influenced by the Western world and other African countries.
Beautiful. Well, now you said your title was Ibukun, is that correct?
Correct. Ibukun, the celebration. And that's actually the name, my grandmother's first name. Ibukun.
I was going to ask you what that name meant to you. And so you are very much honoring your grandmother with this performance.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, your dance piece, Ibukun, the celebration, is in collaboration with Subhashini Ganesan, who is the founder and executive director of New Expressive Works. And you're both doing two separate dance pieces under the title of Ignite. Have you seen Ganesan's work? Have you seen her, you know, her piece, Bliss and Other Things?
Well, I've heard a lot about it, but we actually are saving our own works for each other too.
Oh, so you're premiering them to each other then. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's a surprise. I've heard a lot of great things. What I do know about Bliss and Other Things is that Subhashini is really exploring bliss as a disciplined state of being. And she's looking at paying attention to what it's required, continued attention and opportunity to really have an authentic experience of joy. And she's bridging these recognizable elements of Bharatanatyam, using rhythm and precise geometric body shapes, and bringing in some abstract narratives to a contemporary context.
Well, she really pushes South Asian dance to contemporize and to make it into a new form too. And she's working with Anjali Dance, as I believe, some of the members. And so, you know, it's like creating a new form as opposed to a traditional form. So
absolutely,
that's exciting. That's always exciting work to push that forward. You're both premiering Ignite. They're two 30-minute original pieces, and you're going to be premiering them to each other, it sounds like, too.
Yeah.
And they're both at New Expressive Works, and you're going to have some talkbacks with artistic, you know, with both you, right, and the dancers on Friday and Saturday evenings after the performances?
We will, and I believe Friday night is Michelle Fuji, and Saturday night is Mike Crenshaw.
Oh, so artistic directors and performers then. Oh, I see.
Yeah, there's a great collaboration between artists happening this weekend.
Wonderful.
Both of them will be facilitating the talk back. And we have some great collaborations with Nojim Lasisi from Jujuba, who's bringing in the live Nigerian bata and talking drum. He's doing talking drum. And bring in some of the traditional elements.
Well,
Robin Greenwood and some really amazing people.
Yeah, it sounds like a great collaboration all the way around. So New Expressive Works, N-E-W, I don't know where I got the U, premieres Ignite, a performance presenting two 30-minute original productions choreographed by, are you dancing as well, Olyanka?
I am.
Okay.
Both Subhashini and I are dancing.
Yeah, so it's choreographed and performed by Olyanka Akanjiola and Subhashini Ganesan. And you're going to have talkbacks. And it's Friday, January 20th, and Saturday, January 21st, 7:30 p.m., and Sunday, January 22nd at 2 p.m. at New Expressive Works. It's not far from KBOO for listeners close by, located at 810 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. It's in the WISE building, W-Y-S-E. You can find all that info at 2zoomtopia.com or studio2zoomtopia.com, or you can just link it. I've got it linked at stageandstudio.org or kboo.fm/stageandstudio. all the info. Oluyinka Akinjiola, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
And, have a great performance this weekend. It sounds like very exciting work. I'm glad, to hear about your progress throughout the year. It just sounds like, this is all working out for you, and it's just, you're just going forward, right, and growing and growing.
Thank you so much.
Well, you take care.
You too,
Dine. Up next, we feature Stories from McLaren. We're going to hear another piece from Rejoice Diaspora Dance Theater's performance in Ignite at New Expressive Works this weekend. Robert, stage and studio. It's like cold and ice, and there's a freezing rain, advisory. And yet these two brave women braved the elements and are joining me live in the studio right now. Ann Singer, Executive Director of Rogue Pack. Hello.
Hello.
Rogue Pack is an organization that creates storytelling theater workshops for at-risk youth. And also with her is Francesca Piantedosi, who is a playwright. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
It's been a while since you've been on the show. I think probably like maybe 20 years. I don't know.
Maybe 5.
I don't know. It's been a while. But it's nice to have you both here. You're both working together on Stories from McLaren Youth Correctional Facility. Ann, let's start out with you. How long did it take to put this project together?
Well, it was right when I met Francesca over a year ago. She mentioned that she had worked for McLaren, and I was like, wow, that's going to be the next Fertile Ground show. I knew that that would be perfect, right? Getting those youth's voices out. So we've been thinking about it for over a year.
Yep.
And I think we basically, we met for the first time about 3 months ago, and
About then,
right.
Yeah.
Because Francesca's been working with these kids forever. She came and actually taught at my classes over at Boys and Girls Aid, and she is just a master at teaching these kids who are really hard to reach.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what it's all about, engaging these kids who have such tumultuous lives. So.
Well, I want to talk more about this and, Francesca, your work with the workshops. But when you said Fertile Ground, this is going to be my Fertile Ground show. You've done one almost every Fertile Ground since Fertile Ground's begun almost. Right?
Almost, just about, yeah.
Because I featured several of your shows. Mm-hmm. But was it Rogue Pack before, or is Rogue Pack a new organization?
Rogue Pack is pretty new, yeah. As an organization, we're in our third year now. But we've been doing this program. I've been doing this program for about 5 years altogether. We are a new program, new 501c3. However, we still have many programs going. We have Boys and Girls Aid, and we also work with the Sun programs at Madison High School, and we're going to be starting a new one, hopefully with Youth Progress as well.
And most of your shows are now at the Selwood Playhouse. Well, tell us about that space.
Yeah, I actually live right next door to it, just by coincidence.
So that helps, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. Great commute. Yeah. So especially right now with the snow, I can go in there whenever.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's a great little space, and it was a church when we moved in 5 years ago, and then there were these two guys working there, and they said, hey, we're making a theater for the community. And I said, great, I do theater. And they actually donated a space for my office, for the Rogue Pack office. And yeah, our kids have been performing there for the last 5 years.
Well, I want to start talking about Stories from McLaren, because Francesca, how long have you been working? I guess you had been working at McLaren Correctional, Youth Correctional Facility for a while.
That's correct. I've been there for 5.5 years.
Really?
Yes.
So why did you, how, on your own or as a volunteer or what?
On my own and as a volunteer, there's a sort of an infamous Kansas maximum security prison that they invite a playwright in to teach. And I heard about that and I thought that was so cool. And then I was a finalist for that, but I didn't get chosen. And then I thought, well, why don't I just do this in my own home state of Oregon? And little did I know it would take me a year to convince them to let me teach. But yes, I've been teaching there ever since.
Is it mostly just like background checks and making sure that you're legitimate to be able to work there?
Well, I think there's a lot of that. I think that also organizations have a leg up because they have a track record and something to back them up. I was just an individual going in to teach playwriting.
So let's talk about what you're doing for Stories from McLaren for the piece for the Fertile Ground. How long was that process? I know you've been doing this for a while, but did you start a certain theme? You know, what was the actual time period for the developing these stories?
There are no themes. I really believe in the power of the subconscious mind. And so I go in with no theme whatsoever. And I ask them to pick a name. And if you want, we can do a little demonstration right now if you're feeling up to it.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. Okay. And you want to play, too?
Okay, let's play.
So what I'm going to ask you to do is to just pick a name. Before you pick a name, you know, it could be Spoon Lady of the North, or it could be Mary. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Oh, you mean
matter.
Like a proper name?
Yeah, okay. A proper name. So just choose a name right now.
Cinderella.
Okay, Cinderella. So what do we already know about the play that you're about to write? We already know it's not a drama, probably.
It could be. But it's about a woman. A young woman.
We assume, you know, in binaries, that it's about a woman. But what if it were about a man named Cinderella in modern society?
Okay.
So we don't know if this is going to be, you know, ironic or if it's going, what it's going to be exactly. But what I already know about your play is a lot. So that's how we start. And then I tell them to choose a sentence. And if they can't think of a sentence, to write down, I hate my playwriting teacher. And since nobody wants to immediately alienate me, they always come up with
something
sentence.
Else. Okay.
Yes. So if we were to, I always tell them how much we know from that sentence. For example, if your first sentence is, honey, I'm home, we already know this is in a relationship. We already know that it seems to be pleasant. Seems to be civil. But if instead, you know, I came home and I said, you didn't clean the house again, oh my God, then we would know.
There's certain assumptions there.
There's certain assumption. And we would also know the conflict has started immediately. We know what the beginning of the conflict is.
So do you break it down like sentence by sentence with the youth then?
I just do the first name, the sentence, then the next name and the sentence, and then they start writing. So there's no fear of the blank page because there's no blank page.
Right, right. That's so awesome that you just did that. It really is. It
Thank
is a
you.
Spark, right? You're it's, giving them a spark.
Right. But I don't give prompts. I don't do that. But I've never needed to either. So we just start. And by then, and the beauty of it is, let's say you were to give me a name, Cinderella, right? And I were to say to you, I already know Cinderella is 4 years old and lives in Brooklyn, right? So it's a little off track there. If the person says back to me, that's not it at all. She's, you know, 47 and she's this. I go, oh, well, then you already know what you're writing. So get to writing.
Good for
you.
So
even when I'm wrong, I'm right.
Well, it's an inspiration.
Correct.
And it's an inspiration to get away from the whole myth of the writer's block, right?
That's right.
Well, that is very fascinating. So I can tell you've been doing this for quite a long while.
You
know your stuff. So what are some of the themes that the McLaren youth came up with for the plays? And what kind of plays are they?
There are comedies. There are really, really, really tragic dramas. Some of the comedies, one is about, it's called Hillbilly Tragedy. And it's about some hillbillies, you know. And he's like, well, I got to kill this guy because you were sleeping with him, you know. And, you know, it's all hysterical and funny. And then there are others that are about, one is about somebody who's living in a crack house, growing up in a crack house. And that's a more autobiographical story. So, you know, it runs the gamut of, but it's them really saying something from their heart. And when I tell you that these are amazing gentlemen I teach, and I mean amazing.
Well, how do they range in age?
Well, McLaren is typically from 12 to 25, but I don't.
That's a wide range.
Yes, yeah. But typically the gentlemen who take my class are 18 to 25 okay. or something okay. like that. Yes.
All right. So they perhaps this is freeing, you know, to be able to have control over this aspect of
the beauty
of their life.
The real beauty of this program is that it is invisible. All they do, I put that in quotes, is talk about their characters, right? So they don't have to get defensive. They're not talking about themselves in their own mind. But by learning creative problem solving, by losing their concrete thinking, by having to talk about emotional intelligence of their characters, they transform. And I'm never having to say anything about it. I don't call them on anything. There's nothing to call them on. They're just talking about their characters.
So are they 10-minute plays there?
They're usually 10-minute plays. Yeah. Sometimes they're a little longer, but yes, typically
speaking. Yeah,
but that
speaking. Helps that each one can have, you know, a production.
Yeah, so I teach an 8-week program, and then at the end, this time we have a special instance, but typically I bring in about 20 actors to read their work for them. And so they get to really see what it's like to work with actors and a director. So not just write, but actually have a part of the whole experience. And when the gentlemen are released, the first thing they ask me is, will you take me to the theater now?
Wonderful. That's wonderful. So, Anne, I want to bring you back in here because then comes the production. You know, you've got all these scripts, and so you've got some professional actors and you've got a director. So tell us a little bit about that process.
Right. Well, I'm letting them take care of all the artistic stuff.
but you brought so people together.
Exactly. So we're producing it. Rogue Pack is producing it. And we're trying to find ways to, you know, there's four different performances. This is the first time we're doing four performances. Usually it's only two because the kids usually do it. And kids don't really want to perform for much longer than two performances. But this time we have four performances. More people can come see it. More people can see that can hear these kids' stories and be connected. It's more of a connection to the community. So each night we're gonna serve some refreshments, and we want to keep the dialogue going. So we're gonna have they're gonna Skype the boys in on the first night. So the boys can actually watch the performance, and then also there's gonna be a talk back with them and some other kids who have actually gotten out of the facility now, and they're gonna come see the show, and they're gonna do a talk back along with the actors on stage. And then each night we want to have different people from the community coming in, people from the Oregon Youth Authority, maybe some staff from McLaren, and from various organizations, Janice Youth Program, perhaps people who can come in and talk and give more information about what people can do now to help these kids transition from out of a juvenile detention system into society.
Well, and I understand that they're actually going to be watching this on Skype.
Yes, which will be wonderful for them. It's very empowering to see actors acting out their words. That's the most empowering thing.
It would be a shame if they didn't have that connection, wouldn't it? Because you do all this writing, and then it goes away, and you never see what happens, and now they get a chance to be. And will they be part of a talk or anything?
Exactly. Yeah. Afterwards, we're going to have them do a talk back along with the actors, yes.
Was it very hard? I guess, you know, Francesca, you said it took a year for them to let you teach there. It's a very hard process, right, when you're dealing with the Oregon State Department.
There are
of
many
Justice,
hoops
yes.
to jump through. I've also taught at Tillamook Correctional Facility, and soon I'll be teaching at Donald E. Long Detention Center. So everyone has their own unique rules and regulations. When they first told me that I could teach, they told me that the only slot open would be teaching opposite visiting hours, and the gentleman would have to forego their visitors.
Yeah.
You know,
makes it difficult.
And I thought, well, you know, this is the slot I've been given. And my first class, I had 4 students. And my second class, I had 7 students. And from then on, I've been always full to capacity with a waiting list. So even though they have to forego visits,
they show up.
They show up. And the stories they write are so empowering. And the actors, when they come in, they always say, you guys don't get it. Like, these are great plays.
Yeah.
Like, we're used to reading, you know, okay plays, you know, but they write really, really great plays.
And they're voices that normally don't get heard.
Normally don't get heard, for sure.
No, and that's important. Well, You can see Rogue Pack as they present stories from McLaren Youth Correctional Facility for young men in the custody of the Oregon Youth Authority. And there are 10 youth ages 18 to 24 who wrote their personal stories. Well, maybe, are they all personal stories or wrote from their personal experience, perhaps?
Well, I'll ask you a question. You're a playwright. Is it all from your personal experience?
Not all, but
no,
I think
but
there's
in one
a part
way
of it.
Or another.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So it is from your personal
yes.
experience. So during workshops conducted by playwright Francesca Piantadosi, and they'll be performed by professional actors in an evening of one-act plays or 10-minute plays.
Yes.
Yeah. Directed by Patrick Walsh. And the stories from McLaren is part of the Fertile Ground Festival. The performance dates are January 20th, 21st, 27th, and 28th at 7:30 p.m. And all shows are at the Selwood Playhouse. That's located at 901 Southeast Spokane Street in Portland. Well, it's in Selwood, right?
Yeah.
For tickets and reservations, visit roguepack.org or call 971-344-0155. And you can get more info at fertilegroundfestivalpdx.org. And I have all of that info as well as the podcast of the show later today at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. So thank you both. Executive Director and singer and playwright Francesca Piantadosi, thank you for braving the weather and visiting me here right in the studio.
These gentlemen are worth that and so much more.
Well, kudos to both of you for this work. It does sound like incredible stories and an incredible experience, you know, for you especially.
Yep.
And also for the audience. So,
oh yeah.
Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So before we go, I want to do a shout out for a new play I've written. You know, it's called The Courtesan, and it's based on Japanese artwork that was copied by Van Gogh. And many artists of the time got their inspiration from Japanese art and helped to create Impressionism as we know it. I didn't know that till I went to the Van Gogh Museum and was inspired by that. And I also have a side story that is about modern day China and two scientists who are working at the site of a chemical blast zone in a deserted city, and they're the last two remaining people trying to chart the reclamation of the city. The shows are stage readings with projections and live music by Unit Sozo, and the shows are January 27th at 7:30 p.m. and the 28th at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. at New Expressive Works, located at 810 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. And you can find out more on my website, dmayroberts.com. That's it for Stage and Studio. Thank you to engineer Tave Fache Drake. Hey, inaugural show with me. I'll have this show online later today, stageandstudio.org, kbu.fm/stageandstudio, and the podcast at iTunes. Like us on facebook.com/stageletterandstudio. Tweet me at @stageletterandstudio. Till next time, I'm D. Mae Roberts. Everybody stay warm. We're going to go out with more music. Thanks. From David Ornette Cherry, actually.